I just think that sometimes you have to like show your support with words and being there, and other times you can just show your support through like acts of service for them. But in terms of like general conversation that you have with them, I 100% agree. You just got to see them as the person and try your best to treat them in the same way that you would previously do.
Aloha! Aloha, Terrell!
Aloha, Deidre!
And aloha to everyone out there, too!
Yes, aloha to you, folks!
Because right now, we are about to dive into some pretty interesting topics.
One's relationships and hardships.
To one's childhood and trip down memory lane.
That's right, we are ready to talk it all.
So join us in our show,
DT Talks.
Aloha, everyone!
Aloha, friends and family. Welcome back to a new episode of our podcast, DT Talk Season 5.
Yes, ooh, we are cruising right along in Season 5.
Yeah, we're starting strong. Mm-hmm. I think, maybe, hopefully.
I think it's good. I've been getting some good feedback from people who have been tuning in, even like my former classmates from primary school.
Oh, yeah? Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, I didn't know you guys thought I was alive.
Well, that just means our production is pretty good.
Yes, we're doing
maybe good. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Nah, it's good. But speaking of good, let's bring in our good news for the day with Uncle Terrell.
Okay, here we go. This is Uncle Terrell back at it again with another news from the goodnewsnetwork.org.
Yay! That's our news.
Ah, news today, very, very special, very short, and very, very sweet.
Oh, okay.
Ah, says here, there are still honest people in the world, and that honesty can lead to miraculous outcomes.
I'm curious now.
Ah, it says here, I have a friend who found a wallet and through a series of amazing circumstances found the owner, who was part of a migrant group from Jamaica who came to the United States to pick apples. The way she found him and what happened next was truly miraculous. One day recently, Lori Fenby was shopping at a garage sale in Rochester, New York, and as she was leaving, she found a wallet on the ground. She looked inside and found a Jamaican driver's license, some American cash and some Jamaican cash. She tried all the usual ways to locate the man, whose name was George. She couldn't find him through Google or Facebook, and then she asked for suggestions through Nextdoor, a community website. Lori received a lot of ideas and responses, some of them not so positive.
Oh, okay.
But one lady suggested that she contact a little store that is known to have many Jamaican migrant workers as clients. Lori called the store and found that, yes, indeed, there was someone named George who lost his wallet. She suggested that the owner contact George and have him call her. When George contacted her, he was able to identify all the contents of the wallet and Lori was able to return it. But it didn't stop there. Lori asked George, What do you and the migrant workers need? He said they could use some warm clothes. Lori immediately contacted the next door community and was able to organize a clothing drive. She received lots of t-shirts, sweatshirts, shoes, and other supplies. Recently, Lori was able to meet George and the other migrant workers here in Rochester, and she joined them to pick apples together. They're so thankful to Lori and her friends. None of this community building or friendship would have happened if the wallet had stayed in George's pocket.
Oh, that's true, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, so Uncle Terra here likes this story because kindness can change many, many things.
Mm-hmm.
See, this little
especially
lady.
Especially honesty too.
Ah, especially, you know, what they always say, honesty is the best policy.
Yes.
Ah, so if you do always be honest, you can get good reward. Ah, like this, you get to meet many, many people, many friends. Maybe one day get some extra cash for being kind.
Or at least have nice warm clothes.
Ah, yes, yes, yes. Okay, this is all the news from Uncle Terrell. Take it away, Deidre.
Yes, much mahalo, Uncle Taro. That was actually some really good news. Something simple that people, you know, would think, oh, anyone could do that. But no, it really means a lot when you do it from the heart. So now that we have more of a positive mood for this podcast, because it's going to be a serious one, but we have some special guests for this episode.
Exactly. So if you heard some giggles earlier, so we have a guest.
Which is not from me.
Yeah, not from me too. Definitely not from me. So we have two friends here. One from South Africa. Her name's Kelsey, and the other is from Anais, and she's from the US. So we'll have them introduce themselves.
Okay. Hi, I'm Anais. I'm French American, and I lived in Boston, and I've been here since like a few months in Hawaii, and I love it so far. And I'm excited for the podcast.
Hi everyone, my name is Kelsey Kluti. I was born and raised in South Africa, and then 2 years ago my family and I immigrated to Singapore. From Singapore I moved here to Hawaii, and currently I'm studying at Brigham Young University Hawaii with a major in biomedical sciences.
Cool.
We have a diverse crew here.
Yeah, very, very diverse. So like, we're glad to have you guys here. How do you guys feel like being our guests for our episode today?
Honored and excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, very privileged, very excited.
Well, we're glad that you're, you know, happy and excited to do this, because first of all, it's very hard to find people to talk on certain topics. But glad you guys were on board on this. So it's pretty cool.
It's an important topic to talk about.
Yes.
Yeah, foreshadowing on what's going to be happening.
And also, if the listeners don't know, Terrell and the guests are actually in a unusual location for today.
Yeah, that's an important event going on at school, so that's why we're just finding a location that...
Yes, they are on the floor, so, you know, you guys... I mean... We're willing to do whatever it takes to get the episode out.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, like, the other episodes as well, we are always on the floor recording, so... Not much difference right there.
Okay,
yeah, true. Better like surrounding sound also.
This was just very spontaneous.
Yeah, of course.
Something to remember for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, guys. So let's not waste time. And we're going to get to our fun segment, which is called Would You Rather? And this is for us to get to know our guests a lot more better. So are you guys ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Okay, first question. Would you rather have an all-expenses-paid vacation every year for a month, or have the job of your dreams?
Personally, I would choose the job of my dreams. Okay. Having an all-paid expense vacation sounds very tempting to choose, but in the long term, having a job that fulfills you, I think, is so much more important.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I was also gonna pick a job that like makes me happy and stuff, since I'm gonna be doing that for a long time. I wanna make sure it's not something like boring or that I'm not passionate about.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I was thinking about the vacation.
Yeah, all the time, man. You know, I just wanna honestly, I just wanna go to Japan again, so.
But if you have your dream job, it's kind of like a vacation, right?
But you'll be working forever then.
That's true.
At least you'll enjoy
what if you earn
do,
a lot? Yeah, and then you make connections with people in Japan.
It's true. Maybe. I don't know. I'm not too focused on that. So, yeah.
Okay. Next question. Would you rather have to read aloud every word you read or sing everything you say out loud?
Oh.
I would rather read everything out loud because I would just whisper.
Thinking the exact same thing. When I read this question, I was like, I can't imagine singing for the rest of my life every time I open my mouth.
I mean, like, you'd be like a Disney princess all the time if you're singing all day, every day.
You're changing my mind there.
What if you whisper something? Will you also sing that?
Maybe.
I guess so, yeah.
Then you cannot have like secrets with people, or...
That's true, yeah. I mean, Anais is technically doing it right now because she's like, half of the time she's whispering on the microphone.
Okay, is this better?
Yeah, that's better.
We want to be able to hear you.
Yeah, so it's good. But you're fine.
I was just testing the would you rather. Like, I was testing
everything. Already living the questions in your life. But yeah, next question. Would you rather be forced to eat only spicy food or only bland food?
So I would rather eat only spicy food. I feel like you can develop a tolerance to spicy food. But if you're only stuck with eating bland food,
uh-huh.
Oh my gosh, I would just get bored of eating.
Yes,
that's true, yeah.
I would definitely do spicy food because I like it. I like spicy food already.
Yeah, see, that's my problem. I'm not like a spicy person. But just the thought of only eating bland food sounds really boring.
Yeah, what kind of spicy food though?
Yeah, exactly.
I like spicy noodles. I love takis. I like spicy chips. Curry, like anything like that.
Anything like that. But what if like the spice is like ghost pepper spice?
Oh my
gosh. Like you have to eat all the time.
The heck?
Oh shoot.
Jeez, Terrell.
Yeah.
Didn't think about that part.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, like, it says spicy though, so whatever you eat, like, you can't, whatever country you're at, you are having different spicy food, so.
Yeah,
who
that's
knows?
True.
Yeah, if you're in Japan and their tolerance of spicy is not even.
That's true, yeah.
Spicy.
Yeah, I've had like.
Yeah, it'll say spicy on the packet, but then when you try it, it's like, oh.
It's true.
All right, ask the next question. Would you rather ask for help with a difficult task or figure out how to do it yourself?
I like this question because in the past, I probably would have tried to figure out how to do it myself, but now I'm learning to like ask for help more now, and I realize it's a good thing. So probably ask for help or get help with the task.
I'm still more of a figure out how to do it myself person.
Oh, wow. So big tie right here.
Yeah, I feel like I'll try for as long as I can. If I reach a point where I'm like, okay, I've really given it my all and I still have no idea what I'm doing, uh-huh. Then I'll probably ask for help. But otherwise, yeah, I'll probably still try to figure out myself. I feel like there's a lot of personal growth that happens when you try to figure out things yourself.
That's
a good point.
But then also a lot of stupid mistakes. So they go hand in hand.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, like, we had to learn some way or another, right? But then, like, as time went on, I feel like these two questions correlate because, like, you know, sometimes you got to figure out yourself and then you'll find help.
Yeah.
And then sometimes when you find help, then you know how, like, okay, sometimes I can't rely on other people. I have to do it myself.
Yeah.
Right? Sure. I mean, that's coming from my experience, though.
Yeah, but sometimes also if you want to always do it yourself, you put more pressure on yourself, too.
That's true, yeah.
I feel like it also depends on the circumstance. Like, what is it? If it's like a maths problem or something, try to figure it out yourself, then ask for help.
It's true.
But it's like if it's a life crisis, then it's helpful to ask other people and have to lift it off your shoulders.
Yeah, like doing CPR.
What the heck?
Yeah, I'm certified for 2 years, but then like at the same time, I'm like, I kind of don't remember how to do
it. Oh, yeah, I remember when you took those health classes.
No, because I'm an RA. So, like, I have to be trained.
Oh, you have
to,
yes.
Yeah, I have
yes,
to be trained to do CPR.
I'm
certified
for
2 years. Well, now you know, yeah.
But you forgot how to do it.
I mean, I know how
so
to do it.
So, whenever anyone needs CPR,
don't look
for
me.
Don't look for me.
Okay, final question. Would you rather solve all the problems in the world or just live life without worrying about the problems in the world?
I would try to solve all the problems of the world. I think if you're able to inspire or uplift people in any way, that is worth something compared to just being ignorant about the problems that exist.
Well, that was well said. And I would also try to solve all the problems.
Yeah, you would.
Yeah.
Anyways, I feel like if someone would have, you know, lived life without worrying about the problems in the world, I feel like that person's being very ignorant. You know, they don't care. Right?
Yeah.
Ouch.
Like if you have the ability to help, then I think you should.
Yeah, exactly. Solve world. If you're able to solve world hunger, that's
why
good.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, exactly. Or if you know how to cure cancer. Oh, never mind. Foreshadowing the topic.
I was actually thinking of that too, you know.
That's true, huh?
Okay.
I mean, it's a good transition.
All right, so it is. So that's why for our listeners, if you realize we're taking a break from talking about relationships for now.
It has been fun.
Because it yes, but it happens to be the month of October and we have a heavy but important topic to talk about today.
Yes, exactly. Well, hope you guys actually, you know, got happy to get to know Anais and Kelsey too. So as part of that, we are going to talk about something that's very close to our hearts, close to home as well, but it's something that we feel that would be good to talk about because, you know, you're trying to be vulnerable and it's something we don't talk about it every single day. It could be something that's related to you or it could relate to someone as well.
Yes, so because it's the month of October, which happens to be my favorite month, it's also when an international health campaign is widely known to raise awareness on the impact of breast cancer.
Now, while it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, our topic today will be quite sensitive or heavy in some cases. But we hope you bear with us and our guests that we could be of some help to you throughout this episode.
So finding out that someone you know has cancer, it can be difficult. So that's why the topic for this episode, it's called When a Loved One Has Cancer.
Very heavy.
Yes, we're getting right into it.
So to our guests today, either Kelsey or Anais, if you don't mind sharing, do you have a loved one who has or had cancer?
Yeah, I've had multiple people, not in my, or like family, friends, and things like that, who have had cancer.
Yeah. Okay.
So my grandfather, my dad's dad, he had colon cancer. And then my mom's mom, so my grandmother, she had a glioblastoma, which is a brain tumor.
Oh my goodness. Sorry about that, Kelsey.
Thank you.
What was your initial reaction when you remember when you first found out that these people who are so close to you had cancer?
Probably some like in shock and disbelief and also like overwhelmed.
I was too young to understand that my grandfather had cancer because I was 5 at the time. Mm-hmm. So I only really found out that he had cancer when I was older. But when it came to my grandmother and I found out that she had cancer, that was a very challenging day and situation to comprehend as well. So yes, I completely agree. There was a lot of shock, a lot of heartache. I think also just a lot of confusion, like where do you even go from there? And a lot of tears, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I could relate to this really, really well because one thing's for sure, my whole family, my mother's side, are all cancerous.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. So one of the closest ones is my mom. She had kidney cancer before I came here to Hawaii to study. My reaction was, wow, this is it. Wow, this is how the world is and how sad it is to think about how your loved ones can just disappear any moment or like pass away any moment. And it's really sad. And not only that, my whole family as well, you know, like most of them are cancer survivors. My aunt is a 2 breast cancer survivor, and at the moment she has a brain tumor, so it's so sad to hear, and she's gonna pass away anytime soon too. So my reaction is, it would be kind of thinking like, why is it so cruel, you know, like why is it my family? But then at the same time, like, you know what, that also proves that, you know, we got to live life to the fullest. Not saying that we shouldn't do anything that we shouldn't regret. But point is, you know, we have to do whatever that's good to other people, you know, before our life ends, before we regret for not doing more, right?
Very difficult, very heavy.
Yeah, of course.
Like, even from my side, the one that I know who has cancer was more of my aunt. Yeah, it's like my dad's side of family, like cousins and aunts who had cancer. And I always noticed that it's always like the kindest people I know in my life, the kindest, the sweetest people who had to go through all these kinds of difficulties or health problems.
It's true.
Like,
huh?
Even for me, like in church, I remember so many church members. We had quite a few over the years who have passed away from it, and they were the sweetest people. They were good. Some of them were actually quite healthy. We actually thought they had a healthy lifestyle, but then something happened, like they suddenly had cancer and it was very difficult. I remember a lot of us were so surprised.
Yeah, it feels really unfair because, yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. It's hard to grasp your mind around why they, like, someone that, like, kind and compassionate and that does so much good in the world has to suffer that much.
I guess that's the balance of the universe if you think about it, you know, like people do bad things and then, you know, there's the balance would be there should be something good happen to them. And well, it's so sad to say, but like all the good things people are doing, the disadvantage is that maybe they have, you know, bad mental illness, physical illness, whatever it is, you know. That's my observation. So I actually don't even know like what's the thing here, at least.
I was just thinking that at least one thing I noticed too about all these people I knew who had cancer, even throughout the time that they were going through such pain with such an illness, they were always trying to keep things positive. Mm-hmm. They were really strong and they were firm. And I wouldn't say that they were all like not unhappy, but they did do their best to be happy for as long as they can, even fighting through such an illness like that. And I really admired their strength and their positivity even through such difficulty as well.
True. Here comes with the next question, guys. How do you get over feelings or feeling uncomfortable around someone who has cancer? Have you ever felt that before? You know, just feeling uncomfortable with these people and then you just want to avoid them.
I don't know if that is absolute avoidance, but the first time I had to visit my grandmother in the hospital when she had cancer, I didn't even know what to say. Yeah, I was kind of uncomfortable. Yeah, I'll admit. But I think looking back upon that instance, I realized if I had just spoken to her like she was just my grandmother, I think it would have eased the situation entirely. And I think that sometimes we can build things up in our head a lot.
It's true.
Instead of, I guess, just dealing with that person and treating them as a person and not only seeing the disease.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like that. And for me, I've also experienced like some discomfort partially in like not knowing what to say or how to be there for them and help them. But I agree, like when I try to just be their friend or just be there for them and not treat them any differently, that's helped me overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think it makes sense. We got to see them as people. I won't necessarily say that you're going to be comfortable all the way through, you know.
Yeah.
You're trying to empathize. You're trying to see where they're at. But obviously, you know, for people who has never had cancer before, it's hard to understand how they feel.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I can see why people will get uncomfortable because, you know, you don't know how it feels and you don't know where you go from here. You don't know what questions to ask. But I like what Kelsey said.
Yeah.
And Anna said.
Yeah.
At the same time is that, you know, you
especially
just,
when you have to, especially when you have to accompany them with like their treatments and such.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's very, yeah.
Yeah, here's an interesting experience for me is that I was the one who drove my mom all the way to the hospital before she, you know, did her kidney cancer surgery. So half of the time when I was driving, I was thinking like, man, this is it, huh? Like my mom could die anytime too. She'll survive because she has another kidney. I was assured of that, but I was thinking about the future, you know, where is she going to go from here? How is she going to look for hope? I want her to be happy, but then like, but then how with this disease and where she's going after this? It's hard to think about.
I think sometimes we can't get ahead of ourselves, though, you know, when you do look into the future.
Yeah.
But I think that a lot of times when people do have cancer, they also crave some form of normality. And so when we just speak to them like you would having an everyday conversation with anybody else, I think it can ease the tension that's in the room. It can be a great help.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would. It definitely would. What about you, Anais? What do you think?
Like in regards to like treating how you treat them. Yeah, I would also say just treating them normally. They're the way you would talk to your other family members or friends and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just while still trying to be the like supportive and understanding of what they're going through.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the core of it is just to just ask them questions. You know, don't be afraid to do it. I mean, for me as a family member, you know, I should be asking questions, right? And that just shows how much I care about the person. And it's not easy.
Yeah.
When it's someone that's close
it's
to
not,
you.
No.
And of course, with, you know, with friends, I've never had friends that has cancer yet. Or like die from cancer. So I don't know what that feels like. But I think like, how would they feel if you think about it? Right? Have you guys had that before?
Friends with cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah?
I have not. Yeah. No friends or any family members so far.
Okay. So how was your experience like on that?
I don't know. I was super shocked about it when I first found out and like felt really sad because I was so close to them. And one of the people was my mom's best friend, or like one of my good family friends.
Well, I'll just say, yeah, with this type of topic, it's very difficult. Of course, we don't know what everyone goes through in their own lives. But when you deal with someone who has cancer, of course, it'll come along with many emotions. There'll be sadness, there'll be anger and fear of the unknown. And you will have like many questions or concerns for sure, especially for your loved one, whether they will live or not. So we want to move on to our next segment. We thank you guys for those comments earlier, but let's hear as well what our other listeners and friends have to say about this particular topic.
Okay, here we go.
Yes, I do have a loved one who diagnosed with cancer, which is my father. He was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer before I came back from Singapore. My father was around the age of 56 or 57 when he diagnosed pancreatic cancer. It was hard for me to cope because it's probably my ever first time to experience having a family that diagnosed with cancer. Having such a disease or sickness definitely has a very huge impact on every members of the family emotionally. And you know, with such disease, he was pretty depressed, probably disappointed on how he got this sickness. Okay, everywhere we go, his head is always looking down, like freaking out a way, like how to survive. I can see in his eyes is like everything goes dark, you know, like nothing is certain anymore in the future, like whether he will survive or not. It's hard too, because I'm the one who reminded him to take medicines, to eat healthy, what to eat and what not to eat. That will help him to recover at least some strength, because when you got a cancer disease in your physical body, you pretty much go skinny pretty quickly. And in those past 8 months, the weight loss was tremendous, scary. I can start to see his spine, you know, popping out from his back. But anyway, it's a pretty long 8 to 10 months during that process, and a lot of things going on. It was hard for me to seeing him pass on that particular night. The last time I see him is in the hospital. But doctor give him a lot of antibiotic and painkiller, so that the doctor say you have to be prepared that he's gonna pass away sometimes in the night. So be healthy. I think that's the most important thing. Because if you're healthy, you can redo, retry, or achieve a lot of things. But if you're not healthy, struggling with healthy life, that'd probably be a lot of trouble to solve. Especially we only have one pair of organs, you know, it might be replaceable, but not every part. So live healthy life and stay healthy.
Yeah, my mission president's wife was diagnosed with cancer. We just found out a few weeks ago, and they announced it to everyone in the mission. They're even having a get-together from all the missionaries, a reunion. But when we all found out, it was like, it's like one of those things you never expect it to happen. You don't think it'll happen to someone you know, but then once it does happen, it's kind of you don't know what to think at first. But I'm praying for them. Hopefully they, and I hope they're going doing good now. I don't know how it's going with them, but I think they're just getting started with the treatment. So
yeah. What do you guys think of the recordings that you just listened? How did you feel, at least?
They're very emotional.
Yeah.
I think it's so hard to put yourself in other people's shoes when they are dealing with something as terminal as cancer, and you know that it's something that's only a matter of time,
mm-hmm.
often. Of course, in some cases, people are cured of cancer, but yeah. it can always return.
Yep.
And so just listening to those stories, for my grandmother, was also completely unexpected, out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
So just like that, mission president's wife and a father, or like your mother, I can't even begin to imagine how I would feel if I was put in that situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know, I feel quite terrible.
Yeah, those audio clips were definitely very powerful and to listen to, and it helped me try to understand, or like I can't even imagine because I haven't been in that situation, but like when the son was describing his father's eyes kind of like went dark and stuff because he didn't know much about like what the future held. That was like made me really sad, and reminds me how like temporary everything is and how anything could happen, like kind of like what you were saying earlier to how like how it's what's so important to like live in the moment and enjoy everything, because you never know when something could happen or someone could get diagnosed.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And just so you guys know, like both of them, like Anais and Kelsey, they are really, really young too. So they're younger than me. So just letting you guys know. And, you know, at such a young age, you know, they learn how to empathize. And for Anais, at least, you know, she doesn't have a lot of experiences. But, you know, she's learning now. And that's for all of you guys too, you know, friends and family. This is a great opportunity for you to get to some of our shoes. And if you don't know how to react, you know, right now you're listening to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, of course. Yeah. Like, of course, feeling sorry for someone, or even some people even feel guilty that they are healthier. Mm-hmm. These are actually normal responses. But to turn those feelings that we have and to be able to use what we can with what we have to offer support for someone who's especially suffering, that will then make our feelings more useful.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with what you just said.
You know, this is just making me think, I don't know if you've guys seen it. So like for us in the church, we have a lot of, we have those, you know, church videos that they put up on the YouTube channel and such.
Yeah.
I remember especially one video I've always loved watching. I never stopped watching it. It's a Refiner's Fire video. It was a video about this lady who is a member of the church, and she's a mother. I think about three of her children all had cancer, and each one of them passed away after another. I couldn't imagine how it was for her, like to have your child pass away and then your next child grew up and then had cancer and also passed away, and another one passed away, and then your husband also passed away. And it was very emotional. The video was emotional how she had to go through that. But in the end, she took it as something where she could make it positive, where she knew how it felt. And she knew how it affected her. And then she knows that there are other people out there who are going through similar things as she did. And then she figured that because of what she went through, she's able to use that to help others. That she was able to fully understand their pain and empathize with them and help them because she went through something like that. I couldn't even talk at that last part.
I can't imagine how a person will feel like that. Like, if there's one biggest fear I've ever had, is that, you know, my future children or posterity would die before I do, you know. That's like the harshest thing ever. Like, I'm very blessed and very happy that my mom didn't have to see me suffer as much as how she suffers. I think she always asked for that, I feel like. And I can't imagine, she'll be so heartbroken if I pass away first before she did. But I guess like some part of it, she's glad that it's her and it's not me, kind of thing. But at the same time, I feel that can't help but to think that, how is she feeling right now? She mentioned a couple of times to me that, you know, I probably can't live for the next 10 years. So just letting you know, probably hinting to get married and have grandchildren before then or whatever. Yeah.
Yes. That makes me wonder though. I do have this question. How should we talk to someone who has cancer then?
How we should, or how should we? Any thoughts, guys?
How should we?
I would say just like seeing the humanity in them, or just treating them like a human and not treating them differently, and feeling and making them feel, or like feeling really sorry for them, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think each person is different and each person is unique. And so they're going to react to the situation or the news of them finding out that they have cancer differently, yeah, like from another person. And so when you are talking to somebody, you got to take hints and cues from what they're wanting and what they're needing. Mm-hmm. Some people might need a lot of support, mm-hmm, and want people to be there all the time, mm-hmm, and all that kind of stuff. And other people want their space and maybe don't want a lot of people to know that they have cancer. And so I just think that sometimes you have to like show your support with words and being there, and other times you can just show your support through like acts of service for them. But in terms of like general conversation that you have with them, I 100% agree. You just got to see them as the person and try your best to treat them in the same way that you would previously do.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I forgot to add also like seeing how you can best support them and be there for them, because you're right, it's not like universal for everybody. So kind of seeing their needs and if how they can feel loved and supported and
throughout
the process.
Absolutely, I totally agree with you guys. And I think the rule of thumb here is that it's something we generally as human beings do all the time, is that we say sorry. Okay, one thing's for sure, never say sorry. Okay, I feel like the last thing that the people that has cancer wants you for them to feel is that you feel sorry for them and you pity them. And I feel like people who has cancer, they don't want you to feel pity.
Yeah.
You know? And just goes back to the general rule of like treating them like another human being, like who you see yesterday as a friend, family, or whatnot. Spend time with them instead of just saying sorry and feeling sorry for them all throughout the year, throughout the time that they have cancer. How I would feel is that I hate people just saying sorry for no reason. Okay, what am I going to gain if you say sorry? Right?
Nothing. Okay.
Yeah. So,
but it's true. It is true, yeah.
Yeah, and I feel that, you know, I think the best thing you can do is just, again, to reemphasize what NIS has been saying, is that being there for them is more crucial than you saying sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Being there for them physically and talking to them instead of saying sorry would definitely, you know, help their mental health. Because like, if there's anything I learned, because I take health classes in BYU Hawaii, is that I asked my doctor, my health doctor, health professor, not health doctor. she's a doctor, but she's also a health professor. Like,
you have your own personal doctor.
Well, yeah, technically, because I ask the questions and she always answers them, because she's also a personal trainer. Anyways.
Very multi-talented.
Yes, she is. So I asked her like if there's anything that, you know, I can help my mom, because she had cancer. And one of the big ways to help her to cope with it is to help her to be happy, you know. Mental health is such a crucial thing for cancer. Yeah. Like, I've read so many things about it, and no matter how much you eat, sometimes it won't help as much as how much your brain is working. Like, if you're unhappy and you're eating all this food, you're gonna have... How do you say this? There's a higher chance for you to not survive cancer. Okay, because
everything comes from your brain.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why it's important to still speak about other topics than cancer, and if they have like a good sense of humor, make them laugh kind of thing.
Because
they are still a person at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
And they can think for themselves. Like, cancer doesn't necessarily always affect your brain. I mean, unless you have brain cancer. But yeah, just continue to treat them how you otherwise would.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
If possible, doing like normal activities that would bring them happiness, even if it's like watching a movie or bringing them their favorite food, just doing small things like that, that'll help remind them that they're like loved and important, and hopefully that'll help make their mental health a tiny bit better.
Yeah, and studies have shown is that, you know, if you are emotionally more coping and more happy, you are more likely to survive cancer. If not, you live slightly longer because of that positive mindset and being optimistic towards yourself, and instead of just like sulking, you know, you gotta work your way, try to be positive all the time. And especially you as an individual that's talking to the person that has cancer, you know, you gotta be encouraging. Can't be pessimistic, you know, because these people that has cancer, they still have their hopes and dreams.
It's like they're already suffering enough, so you don't want to add to their suffering.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So rule of thumb here, you know, how you should talk to them, always be positive, no matter how short their lives
or how, what's the results of their cancer already, still be positive. Because, you know, these people that have cancer are probably counting on you to help them. You know, they know they can help them. They can't help themselves as much anymore. And I feel like it is your role to support them, to be there for them and to...
I mean, people will worry about what to say to someone who has cancer because, you know, it's very sensitive. It's hard. Of course, you wouldn't know what to say, but the best also you can do is just listen to them.
Oh, yeah.
See what they want to tell you as well and just be open and honest with them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't try to answer questions that you don't know the answers to. You are not a professional at it. So if you don't know the answers to it, don't answer it. But...
Mm-hmm.
Like what the others have been saying, just be there for them, be positive. And what you could say instead is, I'm not sure what to say, but I want you to know that I care and ask for what they need from you.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that's really the best that we can do.
Yeah. And that's also the rule of thumb in general. I feel like 99% of the time people already know how to solve the problem. It's just, they just need someone to be there for them to get through it.
Mm.
And I think it is like part of us as human beings that we always are looking for support, are looking for the companion to be with and to talk with all the time, right?
We're not created to be alone, guys.
Yeah, we're created to, you know, even if it's not marriage, you have people along the way, and friends. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yes. Not everyone's going to get married, right?
Yeah, but I mean, as you go through life, you have an entire support structure. So
yeah, always.
Always lean on it, depend on them.
So yeah, I think we kind of answered this question already, but how can we help those who are coping with cancer? What other thoughts do you have?
Sure. I think what kind of, I already said a little, but just... being there for them. And like my mom's friend, my mom's best friend who had cancer, it was sad to see because like her husband didn't really help. Like he would kind of just work and do other things and wouldn't help as much as he could have with like groceries or helping with their son and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so just seeing what you can do for them and like how you can help them meet their needs while also, like DJ said, like listening and reminding them that you care, and then even if you don't know what to necessarily say, just listening to them and being there for them.
Mm-hmm.
I think a huge help to somebody who is sick or has cancer is to also make them feel like they're not a burden, because the second time you get sick, you always feel like you're a burden on other people. And so if you just show that person that you like love them and you care for them, but it's all in a way that uplifts them and inspires them and encourages them to continue to fight, and not in a way that makes them feel bad for like you supporting them, I think that is a huge help and it'll go a long way.
It's true. Yeah. And I feel like people don't understand this principle, as in like you helping them or doing service for them, you're giving the person the opportunity to help you. I feel like in my culture, it's so often that we don't accept help because we want to do it by ourselves. We can't handle this. We can plow this through.
It's like a sign of weakness.
Yes, exactly. And I don't know about you guys' culture, but in my culture at least, it feels shameful and embarrassment to ask for help.
Yeah.
And
sometimes even they're like, oh, you got cancer because you were a bad person. I hate when they do that.
I hope nobody says that.
I hate it.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Friends and family, if anyone of you that's dealing with that, please just know that at least me, you know, Terrell says this.
At least Terrell, wow.
Yes, I care for your welfare. Okay? Like your life matters. Even if you have cancer, like you just got to keep going and... you know, you got this.
And you're not a burden and you're so important.
Yeah.
No.
Your life
and
matters.
And don't think you're a bad person also because of that. No.
Yeah, your life matters just as much as everyone else's.
Yeah, and it's worth fighting for.
Yeah. And it's a battle, internal battle for sure. But we know you got this. 100%.
And that was thoughts from Terrell.
Daily motivation from Terrell.
Boom, boom, pow. What do you think, Deidre?
Oh, snap. Now I'm in the spotlight. Well, It's very true. I completely agree with what everyone has been saying throughout this episode. And I cannot imagine how hard it is for the person who has such a disease. But whatever it is, yes, we have to keep going. That's this loud car background. No, but whatever it is, just really do your best to have that positivity in your life. I know it's going to be hard for you, but make sure you have a good support system around you who will encourage you and be there for you. And I like how if people worry about what to do for someone who has cancer, then think about what they like, how you could help their families or loved ones as well. Let's say it was a mom who had cancer and she's worried about her kids and how to take care of them, then you could help out and pick up the kids from school or help bring dinner over for her, like ease some of her worries as well that like she might go through. It's very difficult, but it is something important to know that your life really matters. Be as healthy as you can, mentally, physically, emotionally. And for us as well who aren't suffering such a disease, just look out for ways that you could help and encourage people.
I totally agree, Deidre. That's basically the episode, huh? It's not that long. Yeah, we're not diving anything deeper or scientifically because that's not our podcast at all.
No, we are not professionals. We are just telling what we understand from outside and how others feel what you might go through. So
yes, and more importantly, to tell stories and to empathize from them and to learn from them, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, and if you've gone through it, yeah, to be able to help support like other people going through their challenges, because we are not alone in the challenges that we face.
Mm-hmm.
thank you both for like sharing your stories and stuff. I've definitely been able to empathize with them and better understand what you're going through.
Yeah.
And I'm always here for you.
Aw.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah.
We're here for you too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
If you ever had cancer one day, you know who to look for.
Please don't get cancer though.
Okay, knock on wood. Knock on wood. Hopefully that doesn't happen.
Okay, there's no wood here, so.
Dang it. I'm knocking on all the wood.
And if I need CPR one day, I know who to hit up.
If I still remember how to do it, but.
Yeah.
But yeah, like at the end of the day, you know, the core message here is to, you know, be kind to others and to continue to share your hope and optimism to others where they may not be able to find them. And in this case, you know, people who have cancer, they feel hopeless at times. Well,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have a role to play if you're able to.
Yeah. Even for those who are in a lot of stress because their loved one is suffering, they too also need support, the ones who has a loved one who's suffering. Yeah.
But yeah, again, this is the end of the episode. So how do you guys feel, Anais, Kelsey?
Yes.
Now at the end now.
I'm feeling pretty good. I think it went well.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was quite a journey. I got to learn so much from all of you guys and it was so nice to be able to share your thoughts.
Yeah.
I definitely learned a lot.
Thank you too.
And it was really cool to hear new different perspectives and everything.
Yeah.
Different stories.
But also that we all unified in some of the stories, you know.
Yeah.
They're also different, but in some ways we all share similarities.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
But yeah, again, thank you guys so much for your willingness to be our guest here today. It was fun for sure. Thanks for all the thoughts and feedbacks. And
especially for a difficult and heavy topic.
Yeah. And some of us may not be able to know what to say and may not know how to go through this, but at least this will help you to take another step.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's true.
Thank you so much for having us.
Again, yeah.
It was an honor.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. For sure.
Yeah, we'll probably have you guys again one of the other episodes where it's not this heavy, because I feel like you guys have really good humor.
We have good light episodes as well, guys.
Yeah. Yeah, so just this one is just like we're trying to get a connection with other people, so mm-hmm. expanding demographics.
Yeah.
But we'll probably have you guys again, you know. I know you guys have good sense of humor. It's just this episode is just harder, heavier, and very deep.
Yes.
Good to have a
The location is also hard.
Yeah. Well, Again, this is the end of the episode. Thank you so much, friends and family, for listening to our DT Talks podcast season 5. We hope you learn a thing or two, you know, on knowing how to empathize, giving hope, and being kind to others who have cancer. And you'll be able to, again, be able to take that step to help others.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, please be sure to follow us on our social media platforms, DT Talks Podcast on Facebook, DT Talks _ podcast on Instagram, for all our latest posts, episodes, news, and more. So please be sure to follow us on all the podcast platforms as well, on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Amazon Music as well. So thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. And this has been
DT Talks. We are done.
We're done. Say something in your language.
Cuckoo.
Donkey.
Nice. Bye.
Bye.
Ciao.